So I'm going to be talking about starting a bus ministry from scratch. I cannot say that I am the best or I'm the expert. Basically, I'm just going to share some of my own experiences. So I'm from the Rock Church in Fort Myers, Florida. And we have been trying to really get a big bus ministry going for probably a good 7, 8, 9 years. Started off where the church bought like one of those little shuttle buses, and we had some place donate bread and stuff, and we were like, okay, well, we'll give bread away. And our focus really was not on children at all. We just wanted to get people to the church. We wanted to use the bus to bring people. In bringing people, we found that a lot of kids came, which was great. At that point in time, the person in charge of Sunday school was like, why are these kids so wild? She was like, well, what is wrong with them? Like, what do I do with these? Because she was used to just dealing with, you know, the little church kids that, you know, their parents are in church and they're coming to church consistently and, you know, they're nice kids. They're well-trained and you know that their parents will take care of business if they're not behaving. The bus kids, you did not have the parent reference. You did not have that extra discipline backing you up. We had that going. The bus broke down. Killed that. A few years later, we had a man in our church. His name is Wayne Sloss. He lost his job. And God told him, I want you to go buy a bus. And he's like... He was like a computer engineer or something, one of those smart jobs. And he's like, a bus? And he's like, okay. And so he was talking to Pastor Urshan at the time. And he said, oh, by the way, Pastor Urshan, God told me to buy a bus, so I'm going to go buy a bus. Pastor Urshan says, okay, sounds great. So he goes out and he buys a bus, and he buys another bus, and he buys another bus. I think he had like 12 buses at one point. Started a bus business. He was busing schools. But in the background of that, he had the burden and he had the vision to see a bus ministry at our church. So there was this vision, you know. The issue was he had the vision. Pastor Urshan had the vision. I had the vision. And a couple other people had the vision. But all those people that had the vision, let me stop and ask this. Okay, now you guys pastor your church. Okay, your hands are full. Like, majorly full, right? How many ministries are you involved in? You're a pastor's wife, too. Okay, your hands are full. How many ministries are you involved in? 2 or 3? What about you? None.
Everything.
Everything.
Pastor's son.
Okay. How many? No? Huh? A few. 3? Okay. So, all of us have our hands in all the pots, right? So the issue came in where we were like, but who's going to actually do the work? You know, we have the outreach team and, you know, the outreach team says, hey, we'll pick you up for church. Just call the church office, but you need somebody to follow up. So part of starting it from scratch is you've got to figure out who's going to do the work. Okay. Because what happens is your hands are in all these pots. You're too busy. You're too distracted. Okay. You have a burden for this, but you also have a burden. Okay. For maybe the women's ministry. Maybe you also have a burden for the Sunday school. So you've got to prepare your Sunday school lessons. And maybe, you know what, you're being used in the church office, and then you're being used in hospitality, and you're being used in, you're everywhere. You don't have the focus. So part of starting it from scratch and part of what I continually keep bumping my head against is who is going to do the work? So we needed somebody to call and follow up with these people. We needed somebody to drive the bus. It is unbelievable how hard it is to get somebody to get a CDL. And getting a CDL is not, it's not like getting your driver's license. Yeah, it is not easy. I actually got my permit back when we first got in the first bus. I got my permit and never got any further because I was in this ministry and this ministry and this ministry and this ministry, and my hands were on all the pots, and Brother Schloss. His hands were in all the different pots, and we just couldn't meet up for him to teach me how to drive the bus. So it never happened, and then my little permit expired. Right now we have, I want to say, like 5 people working on their CDLs. So in Jesus' name, at least 3 of them pull through. So we just kept coming into this brick wall where nothing was getting done, because we just couldn't do everything by ourselves. And last year, probably about this time, my boss at work, I'm a nurse. So the nice thing about being a nurse and working in a hospital is I work 3 days a week, which sounds great. It's not necessarily the greatest thing because it's 12-hour days and you're dead after you work. But my boss asked me, Jillian, would you mind picking up a few weeks of night shifts? And I was like, well, I'm a night owl. I would much rather come in at night than come in first thing in the morning because I hate the morning. Like, oh, I despise the morning. Really not nice at 7 o'clock in the morning. No matter how hard I prayed through, really not nice that time of morning. So I was like, well, let's talk about this. I said, you do understand. We've already made the agreement. I have to work every single Saturday so that I'm off on Sunday because my first job is my ministry. And I told them when I got the job, period, I will not, I cannot, it is not going to ever happen. I will not be here on a Sunday. And so I have to work every Saturday. So there goes my outreach day. There goes my opportunity to do bus outreach, right? So I said, well, since, you know, I can't work on Sunday night, we know, you know, I have church on Sunday night. Saturday night, technically I could work. I said, but then I'm compromising my ministry. I really can't work on a Saturday night, you guys. And they're like, that's right. And I said, well, I can't work on a Tuesday night. I have church. It ended up being for 3 months, I worked Wednesday, Thursday, Friday night. I was off every weekend for 3 months. It was so beautiful. I mean, and I sleep so much better during the day. If I could work, just be a night shifter, I mean, my life would be amazing. But I can't because I couldn't do anything else aside from that. But during those 3 months, we just happened to have our vision casting service. And our vision casting service, I discussed with the church. Now, I'm not bus ministry. Technically, I'm children's director. And I dabble in bus ministry because I want kids to come, right? And I went up for our vision casting service was incredible last year because I talked about bus ministry. Our children's youth group talked about bus ministry. Our bus director talked about bus ministry, and our bus director happens to be the youth pastor, so he talked about bus ministry. And imagine that my pastor talked about bus ministry. So I got up there and I said, I got a plan. I said, I want to see children's ministry grow. I want to see God just blow this up, blow the lid off of it. But the thing that I've noticed, because I was listening to the webinars and I was talking to Brother Booker and Brother Wang and Brother Hodge and Brother Dwayne Uzzle, and I'm talking to all these other children's workers who actually have these amazing bus ministries, and I'm like, we need somebody to target an area and to go every week. And that was the consistent thing that I found. Talking to all these children's bus workers, was that they went to the same area every single week. They talked to the families, they talked to the kids every week, and then they talked to some more. I visited the church in, this is like 3 years ago now, but Truth Tabernacle in Fresno. I visited their church on a Sunday morning, and I went out with their Sunday school director and their bus director. And I asked them, what do you do? How do you do it? And I toured their facility. I saw how they did Sunday school. And then I saw their buses. And has anybody else seen their bus? Oh, my word. I want that. Like, I see it happening. I'm like, I don't know how it's going to happen, but in Jesus' name, Rock Church Fort Myers, we are going to have that. So I was like, oh, I want that. And then my whole bus team, my Sunday school team, they all know about the Blue Bomber Crew. Because I talk about San Jose all the time, and I'm like, you guys, we're going to have it. we're going to get there. And they're like, you're crazy, but okay. But every one of them, what they do is they go every week. So they have some, they have a bus captain and they have like a crew. So whether it's one or two people, and they go to that community and they follow up with all those kids and they talk to them and they meet the parents and they get to know them, know their families, know their home environment. They're building relationships. And, you know, when you're winning souls, the thing is, you're building a relationship. I said last night, my, like, first ministry was Bible studies. And in teaching Bible studies, what I found was I was building a relationship. I was teaching that person, and then I was getting them involved in church. I was making sure they came to church, and then I was making sure they were meeting other people in church, they were making other friends in church, and then that they were getting plugged in and working. Because once you start working, it's really hard for you to get out of there. You know, you're just stuck. You're like, what do? I have to be there. And so that's what we're doing when you're following up with these kids on a regular basis. You're building that relationship, and they're feeling like, I have to be there. I mean, they're coming to visit me every week, and they're calling me, and they know my parents. And then when they come to Sunday school, they know my parents. I can't get away with anything now because she knows my mom, and she's going to call her. So I noticed this was consistent, and I, in the vision casting service, I get sidetracked really easy. I'm so scatterbrained. I'm sorry, you guys. But in the vision casting service, I said, okay, you guys, there is a certain community in Fort Myers that I have a burden for, and I'm going to own this community. I'm going to go every Saturday, and I'm going to outreach in that community. I'm going to follow up with all these people. And then every Sunday morning, I'm going to arrive early, and we're going to get cereal and milk, and we're going to keep it cheap, and we're going to serve breakfast every single Sunday morning, and we're going to pick up kids, and it's going to work, and you watch. And so I went up in front of the whole church, and I said this, and they were like, okay. And they're like, we know she's crazy, but she's really lost it now. And I did that. So every Saturday I went, and I'd spoken to the bus director first, and he set up a route, okay? So I knew we had to go to specific areas, and I knew it had to be consistent. But the other thing was, he said, you know, I can't go up to every door. That's going to be the bus worker's job. You know, we got to go knock on the doors and, hey, come on out and make sure they don't get shot on their way to the bus because it's the ghetto. True story. We've seen guns pulled on a Sunday morning. So you got to walk the kids to the bus. I mean, unless you're in like this beautiful neighborhood, usually bus ministry doesn't happen in those. So we went out every morning and we walked them to the bus, and, you know, we followed up every Saturday. And within like 2 or 3 weeks, we had like 8 to 10 kids coming, and they were consistent. And then they started telling their neighbor kid and their cousin and their auntie that actually was younger than them. And, you know, they just started saying, hey, I'm having fun. Let's go. And we started seeing growth. Now, I was not seeing kids filled with the Holy Ghost. I was not seeing baptisms. I wasn't seeing any of that at first. But during that 3 months, I hammered in and I focused on it. And after my 3 months of working night shift, I tried to go in the midweek. And at that point, it really wasn't working. But I'd gotten some people hardwired in for Sunday morning breakfast. I hadn't gotten anybody hardwired in for that Saturday outreach. So once again, I'm back on square one on that. But at least I have the Sunday morning. So I've got some Sunday morning kids. We have another vision casting service coming up, and I'm praying that maybe I can get that burden into some people to carry it. So the things that we noticed, we had that bus route scheduled out. And so when we went and we knocked on those doors, we were telling the kids, the bus is going to be here at 10:20. Every Sunday morning, you're going to see the bus at 10:20. We actually had kids that would start calling. I had one child call me at 8 o'clock in the morning her first week for Sunday school and was like, where are you? And I said, honey, child, I said 10:20 in the morning. You're waking me up right now. But she was excited. And that little girl actually brought all her cousins. She was baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost. Her cousin was baptized and filled with the Holy Ghost. And then another cousin what came and was baptized filled with the Holy Ghost. And then they brought another cousin, and she just loves the church. She hasn't gotten salvation yet, but she started coming just to church. Forget Sunday school. She just loved church, which was amazing. But we have that bus route. And so it's a matter of getting people to work in those communities and go every week. And we have a family, and they actually bought a 15-passenger van. Their own money, their own cash, they bought a van because they said, we need to bring people. And they fill up that van every single week. Now, they just call. And with them, they're Mexican. They have huge family. I mean, like, half the community is their family by some relation. And so they bring the whole family. And they pack up that van, and they bring all these people. And sometimes they have to bring two loads. And they come in, but they bought it with their own money. We have another person in the church, and she just moved in, and she's got a 15-passenger van. So she's going to fill it up. And the nice thing about that is with those 15-passenger vans, you don't have to have a CDL. You just have to have somebody to drive it. And my understanding is in California, that's a better situation. What is it? Oh, is it? That's gross. It's so strict out here. Oh. Well, not in Florida. So, yeah, we have it nice. We don't have all these roadblocks. But think, even 10, and, you know, throw a kid on the floor each row. You know, as long as their head's down, nobody's going to see. We've done that. Sometimes you're just like, oh, I don't have room, and it's just one more. But be safe, obviously. Aside from that, something else, it always comes back around with me, with children's ministry, with bus ministry, any ministry. I think it's so important just to remember prayer. So when we started this bus thing and I started doing the Sunday mornings, we always pray before outreach anyway, but Sunday morning, my breakfast crew, we meet up at 8 a.m. on Sunday mornings. So Sunday mornings, we go to the church and we pray at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we get a good half hour, 45 minutes, sometimes an hour. We just pray until we break through, and then we go. And we serve breakfast. And it got to the point where we were praying in the morning, and then we'd get there, and somebody said, you know what? I feel like we need to pray there too. So we started praying at the community, and we would just kind of get in a circle and hold hands, and we would pray and just say, God, take dominion in this community, break down the strongholds. We did that. It's a really bad area. I'm sure, like, everybody has that area in their community where they're just like, I'm not allowed to go there by myself, period. It's like, I'll end up dead. But we actually, it's the most violent community in our city, and we actually went out there one night, and we had a burden. We said, we want to do midnight prayer. And so we were doing midnight prayer at the church. And I was talking to somebody else, and we made the comment, and we were being a little flippant with it. And we said, let's go have midnight prayer out at Jones Walker. And it's kind of a death wish, you know, to think of it. And we said it, and we're like, we get enough people. We could do this. We got the Holy Ghost. We got Jesus' name. We've got dominion in this city. And so we managed to get like 15 people like that were like, I'm going to do this. And we went to our youth center. At the time, we were like, my Sunday school has been a nice little ride. We were like outside, and then we went inside, but we were busing kids to the Sunday school from the church building. We've been like all over. Finally, we're all in one building. It's nice. But we went to the youth center where we have Sunday school at like 9 o'clock at night. And we prayed for like an hour and a half because we were like, we can't go into this community without being like, I mean, tearing the devil to like, he has no fear. We can't have any doubt. We've got to go in there really bold. So we did that, and we took anointing oil, and everybody had a bottle, and it ended up being like 20 people showed up. On a Monday night. We did a Monday night because we figured that was safer. Yeah. And so we walked around the community at midnight after praying at the youth center. And for like an hour, we just walked around and we threw anointing oil and we just prayed and we We're like, we're taking dominion over this community. We're going to see this community delivered. We're going to see people saved. And we prayed and we walked around. And I want to say it was like 2 weeks later where we had the breakthrough in Sunday school where like 8 of the bus kids were baptized. So sometimes it's just that in-depth prayer. You know, we can have the vision, you can have the burden, but you've got to put the prayer behind that burden. Because you can't do anything of your own accord. You know, that's God moving, and you want God to use you as a vessel to reach these people. So speaking of that, you know, praying for laborers. As the children's director, I'm like always praying, God, I need laborers. God, I need people that are consistent, faithful. And with the bus ministry, you want to see your bus ministry get off the ground. You need those people that are going to be faithful to that Saturday outreach. People that are going to be faithful to a wake-up crew. That wake-up crew is so vital. I was like, when I heard about it in San Jose, I was like, that makes so much sense. Because those parents aren't awake. They were partying all night. You know, they're not awake. But you go knocking on that door at 9 o'clock in the morning, you're going to wake up the kid. And the kid's going to get ready. You already have the parents' permission. Hopefully you've got a permission slip. I really, really recommend that. Get a permission slip with your church information, your contact info. Have that parent sign off saying, you know what, if an emergency happens, they can take my kid to the hospital, what their allergies are, what their contact info, backup contact info. Have that permission slip because, God forbid, something happens and people love lawsuits. So you have their permission. You go knock on that door first thing in the morning. The kid comes on out, put him on the bus, get to church. But you got to have people that are consistent in doing that. Something that we never really got around to, but I keep hearing it from different churches, is having something on the bus. Now, this requires somebody to be on the bus for bus ministry, okay? So you can see how laborers are so important, workers. So having a game, having an activity, maybe somebody on the bus going through your Bible memory verse, maybe they're playing a game with the kids to help them recall the lesson from the week before. Maybe they're learning their Sunday school songs for that week. Just having fun on the bus. And hopefully they get to church and then that Sunday school team has been prayed up as well, and they've been preparing and they've been making ready for those kids to arrive. So when they get to Sunday school, they're going to have just as fun of a time. So as soon as they get picked up, you want them having fun. You want them excited. You want them entertained. You want them distracted. Just they're busy. But you get them to the church and just that flow. Something I dealt with because we were doing the whole busing the kids from the one building. The bus kids would arrive at like 10:45 and the bus wouldn't leave our church. This was such a headache. The bus wouldn't leave our church with the church kids until like 11:10. And that was if the bus driver showed up to church. If the bus driver didn't show up to church, the only other person that could drive the bus was Brother Sloss, who is basically my pastor's right-hand man, who opens up service, who leads in prayer, who does the announcements, and then my kids would not be leaving the church until 11:30, 11:45. And I had the bus kids there the whole time. And so when the bus kids got there, I had to have something to entertain them. You know, so I would do a game, I would do a review activity. You can't really get into the lesson because then you're double teaching your lesson. And when you get to the lesson, when all the other kids are there, the bus kids are going to look at you and they're going to go wild because they're going to be bored. You know, the church kids, God willing, their parents are submitted to leadership and submitted to sound teaching, and they don't have TVs in their home and their attention span is better. But the bus kids, you don't have that benefit. And usually they're just kind of plopped in front of a television and that is their babysitter and their attention span is next to none. I have no idea what time I'm supposed to talk until. Praise God. Okay, I have a few more minutes. So, huh? 25? Okay, I have like 20 minutes. So you want to have something set up to keep them occupied until everybody's there. Maybe it's just Fort Myers, but our church kids don't even arrive till after service starts. It's not just Fort Myers? Oh, okay. Just checking. You know, I thought maybe we were the only ones that had problems watching the clock. So having something to keep them occupied and ready, because you usually don't want to start Sunday school until most of the kids are there. It ends up being a little bit of a deal. So we have some time. Any questions? Can you? Yes.
Actually, I have a question, but I also have a remark.
Yes.
We were on one side of the town. Anyways, we were on one side of the town, and we were trying to get breakthrough on another side of the town. And there was a church family that lived in a mobile home park.
Mm-hmm.
And what we did there is we did a kite day. And we went to, they had a little park in the mobile home, and we had games, we had hot dogs, and at the end of the, just the celebration, we gave the kites away, and we were able to make contact with some of the kids, and we started bus ministry on that side. When I say bus, I mean it's a 10-passenger van.
Yeah, but that's still...
But we've had 5 kids consistently come since March.
That's awesome.
And then we've had several visitors. So that was a breakthrough. And one of the kids expressed last Tuesday that she wants to get baptized.
Aww.
So our thing is trying to continue to build relationships. So when you talked about San Jose or the other churches, mm-hmm. do they do more than just knock on doors and
yes.
build relationships? Do they just go and like adopt a block and have candy rains and ice cream and to build those relationships with the parents or the kids? Or is it basically they're just knocking doors?
It is not just basically knocking doors, and we didn't even just knock doors either. They have an area. So they have their route. Uh-huh. They call it their route. And they outreach that route every Saturday. So some Saturdays it's just an outreach, but my understanding was once a month they'll do something big. So maybe they'll bring a football and they'll just play ball with the kids. Sometimes they'll do a candy rain. Sometimes they'll do like a block party. We did like a barbecue in the neighborhood. Somebody donated a bunch of hot dogs and sodas and chips, and we said, hey, come on out, talk about outreach. One Sunday, it was like Valentine's, we made little origami hearts and stuffed them with candy. And for our Saturday outreach, we went out and we said, you know what? Jesus loves you and so do we. We want you to come to church and we just want to love on you. So yeah, there's a lot. I love the kite idea though.
It's a lot of fun. The kids have a lot of fun.
You know, one of my sessions, I'm supposed to talk about games that teach. And I'm like, my brain is like totally like going off of that right now. I'm just like,
You know, when you talked a little bit too about Latino families, they're very relationship heavy.
Mm-hmm.
I worked in the community, and that's how I got kids to first start coming.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because I knew their parents. And so if it's a more traditional Latino family, they're very hesitant.
Yes.
Let their children go.
They want to go together.
Or they want to really, so they're very, very relationship heavy. Mm-hmm. So if you're wanting to start a bus ministry where there's a lot of Latinos, you actually have to do that outreach and those fun days before they're going to allow you into their home and into the lives of their children.
Yes. That's something I've noticed too. Very good point. And that's a benefit too, because you think of the strong ties.
Mm-hmm.
Those families where it is a very strong family bind and they have that, you know, they need the relationship before they'll send their kids. You're going to find those families come in as a whole, you know, in the area where we're at, it's not those type of families. I mean, it's literally like they'll leave their kids and they'll go out for days. It's very sad, but for us, it's easier to get their kids. Because the parents are just like, take them. But the beautiful thing about the Latino families, and there's some other cultures that are similar, is that whole family is going to come, and that's like exciting.
Julio, Brother Julio Hernandez, I don't know if you know him, huge, almost like a modern day Paul,
mm-hmm.
the Latino culture in Mexico. His daughter was a Sunday school bus driver.
Oh, wow.
As his daughter. So he's had a huge impact the last 20 years in Latin American countries. But
that's awesome.
Was new bus ministry. So you don't know which kid you're bringing to church.
They're, not at all.
The parent could be something great.
There are a lot of liability issues. We have to be careful in the all-Christ.
Yeah, I would think so. You know, I think what we did is I had Brother Wang sent me his permission slip, and then Brother Sloss from my church kind of did some edits and added his little, because he had the business, so he added his, it was called Academy Transport. He put his logo on it and put out that, you know, not only liability covering for his business, but liability for the church. You know what? Let me talk to the guys, and see if we can get that posted. I'll talk to them about maybe getting it posted on, there's two websites, the nextlevelkidmin.com and apostolicsundayschool.com. Usually, if Brother Wang posts something very pertinent, Brother Booker will post it as well. So I'll ask them about getting that maybe on both sites.
What was the two websites?
nextlevelkidmin.com and then apostolicsundayschool.com. Sister Hodge?
Do you background check and fingerprint all of your workers?
Should.
Okay. So is that something that you would suggest for California?
Especially out here, yes. We want to do that.
Okay. It's like $70 per person or something.
Mm-hmm. I had to go through the whole rigmarole for being a nurse, like times three. So I would highly recommend that. We keep saying we're going to do that and just haven't gotten it done. When I get home, I probably need to touch base. I need to meet with my pastor on like a gazillion things about our children's ministry right now. We just moved buildings. So we have, everything is changing. And that's one of the things we need to do. It is, yeah.
I've heard one church even have policy and procedures for their children's workers. Have you heard of that?
No.
Like, do's and don'ts for every worker that came into, so they would know, don't hold a child on your lap.
Yes.
You know, the don'ts and do's, but do's, you know.
Yeah.
And we have never had that, ever, ever. I just recently heard somebody, and they said that protects the church so much.
Oh, wow.
Just because
yes, that's true. I don't have a formal policies and procedures, but when I have my staff meetings, I typically do a little bit of teaching and training, and I touch on those things because I have we have a heavy Haitian culture in Fort Myers, and I've noticed some of the Haitian ladies tend to just it doesn't matter if it's their kid or not, they're going to beat the kid. So I have had an issue where a Sunday school teacher took a child and spanked him. Thankfully, it was one of the church kids, and she knew the parents, and the parent was like, yeah, beat my kid. So he's like, yeah, so, I mean, but then you never know, like, even if a parent, and what I tell my teachers is I'm like, even if the parent tells you, if my kid's acting up, take a paddle to their tush and, you know, you let them know. You don't know if their mind is going to change later. You don't know if they're going to have a morning and they're going to think that you're singling their kid out. So I tell my teachers, I'm like, don't do that. So I've had to have teaching because I've had teachers that just aren't very gentle. And yeah, I've moved some of them around because it just terrifies me. And I'm like, don't do that. Yes.
I actually was looking at policies and procedures because for ours, and, but if you could, Google policies and procedures, Sunday schools, and there's different examples for different churches that come up.
Yes.
And you just came on, but they're really, before the problem, you're preventing the problem.
Yes.
So there's a lot of different examples of policies and procedures.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, just to for us and for the kids, and everybody's consistent about the same page.
Yeah, and something else with that, like she pointed out, it does kind of cover your back. Because you're like, if somebody does something, you can say, well, look, this is our policies and procedures. This is how we've trained everybody. And they're not in line with our policies and procedures. And you kind of can let them take responsibility.
Have you ever picked up a child and then a family member come to the church and try to pick them up?
Not in the way that you're saying. No, I haven't had any issues with that. I did have one of those children that was coming consistently, and she was starting to come on Tuesday nights. And so one Tuesday night, we picked her up, and she said, yeah, my mom said okay.
Oh, gosh.
Police were called. And I was, you know, somebody came and got me, and they said, Sister Jillian, Alex's grandparents are here, and they said they called the police, and I'm just like, what? And so come to find out, she did not ask her mom. There was other family members that were aware of where she was, but there was like some weird family dynamics, and they didn't communicate it with the mom, and the grandparents and the mom were like the primary caregiver. And once they found out where she was, it was all good, but... Oh, yeah, I pick them up. Yeah, we will not. I have one child where it's consistent where she goes to, like, the grandparents after being picked up. But I've discussed it with the mother, and I've gotten, like, cross-reference on it. But otherwise, no, we will not pick them up and then drop them off somewhere else. No. If they get picked up on the bus, they have to go home on the bus unless they've discussed it with me prior. And I'm very adamant about that because you never know. Yeah.
Put those extra contacts or allowances on
the permission. Yeah, we do have that on ours too. But I still tell them I'm not dropping them off somewhere else. Mm-hmm. Yeah, if they want to be dropped off somewhere else, then it's I'm going to personally do that so that I can see who's taking custody of the child from me. And I take that outside of the bus.
Do you do roll on the buses, or do you just leave that to the system? Like, do you have to keep track of what kid gets on?
The bus driver keeps track. I'm working on roll call in Sunday school. I don't know. I have no idea. But he knows when a kid's not on the bus. Let me tell you, he knows, because I've gotten phone calls. Yes. Okay.
And they have a binder that they recall every Saturday to make sure who's coming, who's not coming. And they mark down who's there on that Sunday morning so they know who they are.
That's good.
Keep a binder and, like I said,
yeah. There is, speaking of the binder and the roll call, I'm sure some of you are aware of different apps and software for taking care of your roll call and attendance and having all your contact info. I know one of our goals is to eventually have, like, you know, everybody maybe have a tablet and have that software and be able to go through the software like that. Because then it puts it in the spreadsheet for you and it's just all nice and pretty and organized. And it's a little easier to manage instead of flipping through 5,000 pages. Can kind of click on them and just see all their contacts. I don't know what the name of the software is, though. So I'll add that on my little mental checklist. Let me put a checklist here because, you know what, I did say that I'm a scatterbrain, and I was not kidding. I have to make notes. You should see my little memos on my phone. Why do... Oh, on my notes here? Because I'll forget. Yeah, oh yeah, ask me something while I'm doing that. Uh-huh. Yes.
Is it better to have a group, or is it more beneficial to have consistency on one? Like, if you have that same person on Saturday versus, let's just see who we can get together on Saturday.
I would say for bus ministry, the consistency. But I would not have one person out on their own. Yeah, at least two. And it would be, at least one of the same person. And I'll throw this out, like, I would have at least one person be a male. Because safety. Like, our outreach team, the ladies are not allowed to go out on their own. They don't care if it's two or three. The ladies do not go out on their own. They don't care how much street smarts you have. If it's across the street and the man is there and he can watch and be like, and he runs really, really fast and he has big muscles, then it's okay. But only then. Yeah.
You mentioned the bus crews typically have bigger though. Is it like one crew member for every four or five kids, or is it just like there's five or six people on this bus? How many kids
have? Okay. So. Okay. It depends on the church. Our bus crew, we have the bus driver and a person on the bus, and they go through all the routes. But then I know San Jose, their bus teams are like, I've seen some bus teams that are like three, four, five people. The church in Pueblo, Colorado, they're like about five people. But I heard from Brother Booker in Louisiana at the Baton Rouge Church, it is a bus driver and a helper. That's it. And they and that's for a whole packed out bus. They've got two people. And they do all the follow-up and they pick up all the kids. So I would say at minimum you need two people. Minimum. But they've got to be consistent and they've got to own it and make those relationships. Because if they're not consistent, then you have kids left. And I've heard story. I've had kids call me and they're like, "Where are you? Where are you? I'm ready to be picked up. Don't forget about me." And I've heard stories of kids that did get forgotten. Maybe somebody else was doing the bus route and they didn't get picked up. And, you know, then you have the little crying children. I don't know who was it was telling me the story. I think it was Sister Booker was saying that they had a child just like the other week and somebody else was doing the route and didn't know that they had to go walk and knock on the specific door. And the mom was calling the phone, blowing up their phone for like 30, 40 minutes, every 5 minutes calling them because her child was bawling his eyes out because he did not get picked up for Sunday school. She said she went there, last 15 minutes to spare, picked him up, and then they took him to McDonald's and let him play, and just they were like, they felt so bad. Let's see, I think time's up. All right, thank you guys for your time. Thank you for your questions, because that totally helped me.